that's
you.
Been the entire your so, entire existence of knowing him.
No, I didn't know
yeah.
that.
Well, yeah, and I didn't want to put you on the spot.
There's nothing to put me on the spot about.
Still,
so what? So just I wanna
PT him.
Flip me off with your left hand. So you can't.
So no, that's it.
Quit beating the table.
That's it. He probably needs help.
Not even.
There we go.
Are those my glasses?
There we go.
No, these are mine.
Okay. All right. Mine are upstairs, I guess. I'm going to have a real hard time trying to get through this next
segment. Why didn't you bring your glasses?
I forgot them.
Well, we can go get them.
No, it's all right. No, I can live through
it. He's going to go for it.
We're strapped in. We're going here.
Okay, whatever. Strapped in.
Are you strapped in?
I'm strapped in.
Are you going to announce that it's a half hour later?
So no, we're not going to announce anything. We're here. We're cool.
I'm being petted.
We took a break.
She's petting my peeves.
What?
The peeves?
What are peeves?
I'm trying to figure that out.
Peeves? Hello?
What? Bonnie, what are you petting?
I'm fucking lost, man.
Is that AKA Nips? What is that? Don't pet Joe's nips.
Yikes.
All right, keep going. All right, let's
keep petting the nips. Joe's nips.
Wait,
Bonnie.
Bonnie.
What?
Do your sexy voice now.
Sexy voice.
It's time to turn on the radio.
And pet Joe's
nips. That's pretty good.
Icy.
I used to get, when I worked in for customer service, I'd be like, can you just talk to me? Seriously, I'd be like, you should be a 9100 girl.
Scott, I hope you cut that clip.
Come on, ladies. What? What we want to do here, we're rolling, by the way. We've been rolling all right. The last
week. Oh, great. Oh. You seriously put my 9100 voice on?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yeah.
Well, if you do need me to call, I am looking for a job.
Joe needs a 900. Yeah.
It's
Joe needs a porn
it's
line.
1-900, not 9100.
I'm dyslexic.
1-900 Joe.
9-100.
9-100. Oh my God.
I am seriously dyslexic.
Oh my God, dude. So, all right.
Awesome.
So we're going. Oh, wait, when do we start?
About a half an hour ago, Amber.
What the hell? Just
what we want to do? No, seriously. We're all having a good time. This is fun stuff. This is kind of a reunion of sorts. We haven't seen each other in a really long time. We came into you guys' show a while back.
I saw Chris about 6 months ago.
Well, where?
At the conference in Dundee.
No. I what? Saw him at Tim Hortons.
Ooh,
Timmy House.
Yeah, he told me he ran into
you. I have to tell this story because
it
cracks me up.
Uh-oh.
I remember this.
So it was in the afternoon. He came in. And he was standing at the counter talking to me, and my dad came in, and he was sitting down eating a sandwich. And I didn't think anything of it. It's Chris. I haven't seen him in forever, whatever. I stood there talking to him. Mm-hmm. I was the assistant manager. I could do whatever the fuck I wanted. So my dad goes to the gas station side and is talking to the gas station attendant, and then he leaves. A little while later, Chris left. And Jen says, Bonnie, come here. I have to tell you this. And I'm like, what? Mm. She says, your dad walked up to the counter and he's like, that man has been talking to my baby girl for a half hour and he has a wedding ring on. What does he think he's doing? Move yep. along, pervert. Move along.
Yep. I nailed it right there.
He knows you so well.
I know, right? Right?
He had you at pervert.
I mean, he went full protective dad mode.
So I had to get out of Flat Rock fast.
He was in trouble. It was just the move along, pervert. Move along. That killed me.
Wow. Move along, pervert, wow. Chris. Move along.
We're getting our Doug samples worked in, by the way.
Yeah. Let's get that. A Doug sampling.
You want to hear a Doug
sample? Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Oh, that was perfectly placed.
I like that one.
That was like he was in the room with us.
Exactly.
I love that.
Here you go.
Wait.
It's too cold here in Michigan.
Oh, I love it.
We can't get him here alive, so we're just gonna start sampling him.
Oh, I love it.
That is awesome.
Yeah, we're just going to start sampling Doug into the show. What I'll do ultimately is just kind of write a whole audio track and just kind of put it in there, and I'll just interact with the audio track, and then it'll be like real
good. Do you have a third?
No, well, that was I just did three of them. That's all I have.
You did the laugh with him, too.
Damn it.
Right, there you go.
That's my favorite.
It was awesome.
Doug's the man. We miss Doug. We do miss Doug.
It's like he's here.
Seriously, Doug, when is he going to get here?
I don't know. We talked about that the first show, and I don't want to keep. See, that's one thing that we talked about. I don't want to turn that into like this. Well, he'll be here sooner or later. There is no outlook on this thing as far as Doug's concerned, and we're gonna do this show and do it the way we want to do it and have fun with it. And we have Doug's blessing. I mean, we were talking about the show, Wayne. We were chatting before we even went on the air here, and that's one of the things I said. You know, Doug's like, you know, I don't see this in my future right now, but you guys just go and do this thing, right? It'll be awesome. And the thing is, I'm you know, he's watching from afar. And he's supervising this thing.
He's like God.
Well, he's not a God, but he's excited for us. Because the thing was, is back in the day with
Father
Ghostly
Doug.
Talk. Shut up. Back in the day.
Is he your conscience?
He's my conscience. No, back in the day, this kind of was, you know, working with Doug, he was the one that kind of got the technical stuff down with us to make it happen, right? Mm. So seeing the three of us doing our own thing now and making it happen. I know he said it to me. He's like, you know, this is really great. It's kind of like, and I'm totally cool with hearing this from him. It's like watching a child grow up again. This is really cool, you know? And to me, that's it.
He's Big Papa from now on.
Well, it's always been the Doug father to me. He's always been the Doug father. I've always looked at Doug like that. He's always been, I've been very open about that. Doug's been a professional mentor to me.
Right.
A life mentor to me. And I do miss working with him on the show. Mm-hmm. I really do miss working with him. And I hope that someday, you know, he may come back to this thing. If not full-time, maybe on some type of, you know, we're not even full-time now. We're just doing this whenever the fuck we want to do it, really.
It's been like every other week.
No, it'll be like, I'll be at work, and all of a sudden Messenger will start blowing up on my phone. Like 15 messages in a row, and I'm like, oh, that's Scott and Amber. They want to do a show. I don't even have to look at my phone. Yeah.
Nice. I mean, this is a very off-the-cuff thing, and it's what we said from the very beginning, this, how this thing is going to work. You know, we're just going to do it when we can do it.
I'm excited that we've had a few listeners that are fans of the show and were fans of the show before, and they're, like, just this past week, I will give a throw out. Tony from England.
Yeah, Tony's the man.
Tony was awesome. He posted on our Facebook page, like, what are you doing a show? I don't think that's how he talks. But
wow, that was
way to go,
that's
Amber.
My British accent. Sorry, Tony.
Oh, God.
Horrible.
Sorry.
See, if I could talk British, I would never show
I know.
Up.
Like, maybe I do have a good British accent, but it's not probably what Tony sounds like. So I just keep shut up right now.
He's going to get on a plane and fly over here just to punch you in the face.
He's going to punch me in the face. So anyway.
Well, if he does that, he has to at least be locked in a room with me for an hour, and he has to talk nonstop.
Yes, that would be nice. But we did meet Tony. We did meet Tony in Chicago at one point.
Awesome
so we
guy.
Did legit meet him in person.
Yeah, he's
and
awesome.
This week, great he was guy. Like, when are you guys doing a show again? And we're like, well, it's coming up. And Scott responded and stuff. So it's just like, you know, I think we're kind of tentatively doing this every other week.
I guess so. I mean, but that can change. I don't want to be locked into anything anymore. I'm not doing it.
At any given time, I could say no.
I mean, we could do two in one week all of a sudden. I mean, it's just like whatever.
Amber's getting bold now.
Well, kind of like us, we you know we don't know who exactly is going to be on the show except me and Wayne at any given time.
Yeah.
Well, we don't even know if either one of us are even going to be there at any given time.
You know, so there's a lot of times where we'll actually put one in the can or we'll, you know, do something like that. Or half the time our topics, we don't really know what we're talking about until 10 minutes before the show.
Yeah, I'll be like,
I like that. You know, the thing was is with this thing, we spent so many years plan. Yep. You know, I mean, we would have stuff planned out months ahead of time.
Detailed.
And that was really great to be prepared. Everything was very tight and right. It worked good. But it's fun to just kind of just fly with it and just kind of just see what happens, right?
It's unfortunate because, I mean, we do have a producer guy for the station that we work with, and we give him hell because we're never, he wants to promote and stuff like that and put it out there. And it's like, what are you guys talking about? He'll be like, the day before, hello, I still haven't got what you're talking about. And, you know, also I'm like, shit, Chris, what are we talking about? Yeah. I don't know, what do you want to talk about? You know, so this is like the night before.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, everybody, research this crap. This is what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, so I'm driving in the car researching.
Staring at your phone.
I like that off the cuff, though, because I listen to a few other podcasts, and it's just like people talking. Like, you're eavesdropping on their conversation. And I kind of like that style where it's not necessarily planned, and you have like Coast to Coast or some of the other things where they have their guests and they have their questions, and maybe the guest comes prepared with questions or whatever. And I kind of just like the whatever we want to talk. Yeah, like
it's a brain element. Dump. It's a brain dump. Where it's going. You know, that's what you're doing. You're just
we say inappropriate things at any given time.
Oops. Or we bring up Star Wars and watch Chris change colors.
Are you a chameleon?
I heard that already.
Yeah.
You change colors.
Yeah, I do, actually. Oh, yeah, we start talking about Star Wars.
Like, what color do you turn?
Red.
Why?
Why do you turn red? Are you hot?
Because half the time, when we're trying to handle a very complex topic, then all of a sudden they start talking about Wookiees and lightsabers. It's not that I'm not a Star Wars fan.
You get a boner?
It's just, no, it's just all of a sudden.
Come on,
it's like,
Amber!
It's like, you sons of bitches, concentrate.
You know? Yeah, Chris is very rigid sometimes. But, honestly, I think our whole existence... Chris and I have never, like, actually written out or planned anything that we've ever done. Mm-hmm. It's one of the, you
just
know, whether it's whether
ever.
It's a I'll build a presentation if we're going to be speaking, but we have no idea what the hell we're going to talk, what we're going to say during it.
Nope.
So it's just one of those things that I don't think we've ever practiced or
Those
read
are
a script
the best,
ahead of,
though.
Yeah, ahead of
those
time.
Are the best.
That's why they work. I think you guys work so well together because you do. You play off one another.
Indeed.
No, and that's. I think that's what really makes this stuff fun now, and it's why I think I'm. I mean, personally, now with what Ghostly Talk is, I'm having a ball with it because it really isn't. We would walk into things knowing exactly everything we were going to talk about, and that's cool, but it's very clinical.
True.
Mm-hmm. And doing it this way, you have. You guys know each other. You guys know each other really well, so you know when to step in and when to carry or when to let the other person go. You know, Chris and I have this great, wonderful relationship where we, like, try to throw each other under the bus.
All the time.
So it's...
That's usually my job.
Yeah, we do it all the time. So, I mean, we'll be up there speaking and one of us will just stop and, okay, now it's your turn. And Chris has this wonderful habit of doing this to everybody, actually.
I do.
Yes, you do.
He'll talk about a subject and he'll complete it. He'll complete the talk, right? What do you think about that? Well, you just... What do you mean, what do I think about
it? Every single talking point there was.
Yeah, you just completely talked about this topic.
I've got nothing to say at the moment. Because you've completely said everything that needs to be said.
So, yeah, he has this wonderful thing about doing that.
Chris, have we mentioned we love you?
Yeah, I'm feeling the love here.
I love you, Chris.
It's about to get sexy in here.
But it works. It works for us for some reason. Sometimes, you know, the majority of the time. I think our first talk kind of taught us that. We didn't even know we were going to talk at a convention. It was way back. It was like a psychic convention or something we were invited to for some reason.
Yeah, it was like Miss Cherry Hill Psychic Convention or something. It was really weird.
And so,
a pageant?
We just went there. A
pageant? Yeah.
No, that's at Mid-South.
Oh, that's right. It's pre-Tain, Kentucky.
Yeah, it was local. So we're like, oh, yeah, let's go down and check it out. You know, talk to some people, this or that. And the next thing we know, oh, you guys were on at noon. We're like, what? Like, so we're flipping out. We're like, what the hell are we going to talk about? We've never talked in front of anybody before. What are we, you know? And it's like,
free fall.
Damn it.
Yeah, so, well, let's wing it. And
yeah. Well, and that's, I do like that idea, and I want to keep going with this thing, you know. And this, you know, I mean, this is an adventure for us, too. I mean, we're just trying to figure out what we're doing again. I mean, mm-hmm. we've been out of practice for a while. You know, and that's what I want to talk about here. You know, we kind of danced around this idea, and I want to get into it. I mean, we talked about it, basically. But what, I mean, because we don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'll stay. I know Bonnie don't know. I know Amber kind of maybe has a better idea than we do. But I want to hear from you guys, though. The state of the paranormal, the field itself, right? Let's dive right into this. I want to know.
So
we've been disconnected for so long. Mm-hmm. So we want to know what's going on out there, at least in Michigan, right?
All right.
Like... And we've talked about some ideas. God, Amber's
Amber,
totally
freaking out.
I'll tell you what.
No.
I'll tell you what,
I'm
Amber.
Jumping.
Go ahead.
Okay.
It's all you.
So, okay, you guys are still an old school, like, paranormal team.
Old
someone
school.
Can contact.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that? Are you rapping?
Yeah, well, I'm like your hype man.
Okay.
Oh, I thought he was going to start beatboxing there.
Yeah.
I know.
Please don't.
I'm like your Flavor Flav. Oh, you're Chuck D.
Where's the clock?
Actually, I think I have a recording somewhere of Scott rapping.
Oh, really? So,
Drunk Dialing. Anyway.
Anyways. That's a long day.
You better let her ask her question.
Okay, so my question. So, you guys are still a full-fledged paranormal team. You consider yourselves a team. Do you still accept... Someone emails you out of the blue and says, I have this demon, or I have this ghost, or I have whatever going on in my house.
Here's some rapping right here.
MC Tron. Crazy how you move with your lips.
I had poetry,
but you fast. Because I got a lot
this
to say.
This is garbage.
Say what? How can you talk like what?
I don't know what that was.
Go ahead. I was MC Tron. All right, that one totally went into the weeds. Go ahead.
Fine. So, do you guys still accept emails from people that come in, they write you, and say, we got this going on in our house? Do you still go in and do the traditional business/home investigation and still try to ease these people's minds and say, hey, you got a fucking raccoon in your attic, you got this, you got your kid waking up in the middle of the night? So, like, seriously, right. One of the weirdest stories I ever encountered was a investigation team that I knew on the west side of the state, and the woman got a request from a concerned mother. And said, we have this bizarre scent coming up in our upstairs area. We have these weird things going on. We're hearing something at night. We don't know what's going on. And, of course, when people associate weird scents with things, they start thinking demonic, it smells vile, whatever, bad. So they set up a camera that night. And they caught the little boy of the family waking up in a sleepwalk state and pissing in the corner of the room. So, the smell and the nastiness that they were getting from this supposed demonic haunting was the little boy peeing in the corner of the room, and they didn't know he was doing this because he was sleepwalking and obviously couldn't relate it to anybody. So, do you guys still go in and help these mundane families that have these issues that may or may not be paranormal, and how do you address that?
But here's, honestly, as far as going in anymore, going into a home, it has to be, I mean, they have to specifically ask for something like that. It's more along the lines of actually trying to find what the root cause of the problem is. It's not... We're at the point now where, you know what, I don't really care if we set up camera one to try to find whatever's going on. It's more along the lines... If there is something physical going, then yeah, you know, you need whatever methods you can use to find out what's happening. But the vast majority of the calls you get nowadays can easily be... talk to over the phone. And here's one of the things is, as soon as you ask a client, this is the vast majority of them, to do any amount of work, start documenting things down, start, you know,
and do they
keep
do
a
it
log. Yeah, well, here's yeah. the thing,
it depends.
Usually 99% of the time you never hear back from them.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Because they're going to just go to the next team because they want somebody to come out
they
and
don't
want to
do the work,
right?
They don't want it, yeah, they want the cameras, so, they want the neighbors mm-hmm. to know that their house is haunted.
If mm-hmm. if somebody's asking for help, then you know,
you gotta help yourself.
Well, that's the thing. If you're not willing to help yourself, yeah. then how are we gonna be able to help you?
Yeah.
So it all depends. We take it case by case.
Yeah, and that whole thing ties into just nature.
Right.
I mean, like human nature. I mean, I go through this stuff left and right. Well, I keep forgetting to do this thing. We'll write it down. I mean, I don't want to go to that, but write it down or do this or do that. It's like, well, then I hear nothing. Right?
Right.
And the same thing goes for this situation. And I've done the same thing too. Like, okay, start documenting. You're going to have to keep something in your hand, a piece of paper, or, you know, on your phone nowadays. You can.
It is the ghostly talk drinking game. When you're listening to this podcast, every time someone hits a mic, take a shot.
Well, no, we got these new, we have these new spit guards, these new pop guards, and I'm not used to it. I keep hitting the thing with my hand.
I'm not hitting anything.
But it's.
But no, but what I was saying was just that, you know, it's. Okay, document this thing. You need to give us... Right. We need data. We need information to work with here to do this thing. And that's... Yeah, like you said, a lot of times you don't hear back from people because they just don't want to put the work in.
Well, a lot of times, too, you have to look at it. The modern media, social media, Twitter, has really affected what we do. It's affected us on levels that we don't even see. Half the time when you get a call, I would even go 80 to 90% of the calls that we get. These people, the first thing out of their mouth is I went and researched this, And the minute they did that, they're talking about demons. They're talking
and
about
this. And
what
are they researching? Like their house history? Well,
that's the equivalent of going on WebMD when you
paranormal WebMD.
They're on YouTube. They're looking at all these ghost shows, and they're doing nothing wrong with the ghost shows. They have their place.
Mm-hmm.
But when they come in there, and 9 out of 10 times, the client is already convinced their house is haunted. They have something going on. So most paranormal teams out there, whether or not they care to admit it, is they spend 90% of their time talking them down,
right,
a client on the phone. Then you have the ones that will run out there and set up cameras. But on the other hand, I've spent most of the time with the clients that have contacted us recently,
yeah,
just saying, hey, there's a perfectly natural thing. And the minute you say, like Wayne and you guys had agreed, that you have to do some work here and you have to put your own physical energy into doing it, they stop calling. Because they want to find someone that's going to come out and look like something they see on TV and justify what they're saying.
Why do you want that, though? Why? It's a rhetorical question.
I can answer that, though.
Go ahead.
It's the same thing as like we were talking back in the day when the teams first started.
Yeah.
It's moved on to these homeowners who... I mean, we've had a house call us out. These people were supposedly Wiccan. Chris knew more about the religion than they did. But it was we come to find out that they were going to turn their home into a bed and breakfast.
Oh,
so they wanted
God.
The stamp. They wanted that stamp that this place was haunted.
We did a movie about that.
And then you have, so I think it's the homeowners looking for
that
their.
That was me.
That was Joe.
My first one.
But I think a lot of these homeowners and things like that are looking for their 15 minutes. You know what I'm saying? How
Howdy.
It used to be.
I'm Anil Maz and I'm a pagan.
Yep. So I think that's a lot of the calls you get nowadays because there are a lot of teams. So if they don't get the answer they want, we've gotten so many calls from homes that I've had this team out here and this team out here. They never found anything, but I know my place is haunted.
Yeah.
They're waiting for that one person who's going to come up and say, yep, your house.
Well, right then and there, if I ask and say if there's any other teams in there, it's click. Sorry.
Yep.
I mean, you know, if that's what teams in the field go, oh, my God, well, you just didn't help that client. Well,
ooh.
I will.
We had that happen.
You know, here's the thing about helping.
I got a story.
Here's the thing about helping the client. We talked about this upstairs during the break. And you can help a client. But the client has to want the help first and accept your, you know, whatever commitment based on their religion or whatever
it's
there.
Yeah.
And if they don't do that, then how can you help a client? First off, we're going in there saying, well, it's a ghost. I want someone to tell me what a ghost is, that you see Grandpa Joe and he's levitating stuff around your house. I have yet to see any of that. But 9 out of 10 times, people don't want to take the charge. They're comfortable with the activity that's happening there. They just want someone else to know it. Well, then write a Facebook post.
Right.
You know, send that. So that way I don't have to drive 6 hours out of my way to go ahead and say, let's talk about it on Facebook and we'll say, hey, I can validate your claim.
Yeah. Ooh, so I back in the day, before when we were like when me and some of my friends were a traditional ghost group, Great Lakes Paranormal Research.
Yeah,
we were taking on, you know, someone could write us and say, "Hey, we got this going on in our house," and we had this home in this area in southwest Michigan that said, "Hey, we got this stuff going on. It's all crazy. We got this old farmhouse." So we're like, okay, we'll come out. So
it's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
We did. We were like, from what they said, we were like, this caused for like the whole crew. So we're going to rent a bus, not a bus, but like a religious minivan, whatever you want to call that. You know what I'm talking about.
A religious minivan.
Yep.
So we went out in this van and we went down to the southwest city in Michigan. And we showed up at this old farmhouse and we start assessing the situation. And so, I feel bad. I don't care if she won't listen. But one of the girls in the group who's a good friend of mine has a speech impediment. She stutters. And we put her in charge of interviewing, like, the dad. So she's like, blah, 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 blah. You know, and she, to this day, we joke about it. We're like, we're so sorry we did that to you. We're so sorry. So we started interviewing the people and we're going around and we're trying to assess the whole home and what's going on and taking them seriously with what they said, what they were seeing. They're seeing apparitions, they're seeing experiencing these things going on. So we go in though, and the reality was they had a severely autistic child that they locked in a room that they completely stripped of anything. There was nothing because at some point he stripped even the wainscoting from the room.
I hate this show.
He had a mattress. He had a pillow.
Yeah.
And they locked him in at night from the outside. And that's where he stayed. And then they had a grandma who was like God knows how old, who was dying on her last legs. And she was confined to a bed. She was in the living room of this old farmhouse. And she had a space heater. They would put it in there to keep her warm. But she was confined to bed. And the reason why they started locking the bedroom of the autistic child was because they caught him one night throwing paper at the space heater of the grandma's bedroom as if he was trying to start a fire. Now, he probably doesn't know any better. Who knows? And we're like, what the hell? Then they have this crazy uncle that lives upstairs in the attic. He goes upstairs immediately while we're in the investigation. He goes upstairs, starts smoking weed. Okay. All
right. House of bad cool. shit crazy right there.
Then the kids come home. They go straight down to the basement where they live. They start smoking weed. And I'm like, I'm all about weed. It's cool. It's great. It's medicinal. Whatever. But I also know that it can make you mellow and trippy and weird.
I don't have any weed samples.
Whatever. Sorry. But we're like, we're in this like haunted funhouse of hell at this point. Like, you guys have so many little weird shit things happening that we can't even say that this is paranormal.
Right.
Because you got the poor autistic child, which he's not to blame to any of this, but he's inadvertently throwing paper, doesn't know any better, at the grandma's fan. So, okay, whatever, locking him. Now, I don't know if you remember the movie Poltergeist,
mm-hmm.
But there was a point in that movie, in either one or two, where the seer of the movie, whatever you want to call it, you see this character turn around suddenly in the movie and she has no lips. There's nothing there. And it's like this disturbing point in the movie. And when we came into this house and the poor autistic child turned around, he was playing video games and he looked at us, we all got that poltergeist feeling from that movie of that child with no lips, nothing there. And we were like, oh, what the fuck? What's going on here?
Right, right.
Okay, yeah, the poor girl that stutters, you interview him. We're going to go around and do this and everything. And, like, the whole thing was a shit show.
Here's what your hunt actually sounded like.
What do you think you're going, boy?
Oh, that's not the wrong one. Never mind.
Scott Lambert, no.
You're
stop.
What do you think you're going,
let's just try it.
Party it over by a long shot. There's a shitload of fun to be happy before we go.
Sure, that was going on. So, anyway, point of the story is, we left that investigation. We didn't find anything suspicious. We strongly felt that it was the family that was bringing on a lot of their, quote, paranormal experiences. Yeah. Versus, you know, with everything that was going on. And so we sent them a few photos. Now, back in the day, granted, this is 2003, 4, whatever. And we had a video of a strange orb coming from a closet. And at that point, we were like, oh, this could be something.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we saw something. My God. Okay, we don't
Quit
know.
We're painting the table.
This is an orb, whatever. So
Stop
we didn't know, but we, at that point in the investigation, we were like, yeah, I don't know. We don't see anything. This isn't enough time here spent to gather anything. And we encouraged them to make a journal. Record when you hear things, see things. Record the moon, the weather,
yeah,
everything.
Right.
Make your own journal. Well, anyway, they didn't like that.
Not going to happen.
So they contacted another team in Michigan.
Ain't gonna do it.
And they said, that team, Great Lakes Paranormal Research, didn't find any paranormal evidence in our haunted farmhouse, and we don't believe them, so we're coming to you. And so I had a lady, I can't even remember the name of that group. Actually, I do. I just remembered it, but I won't say it. But anyway, she contacts us. And I'm like the youthful 24-year-old leader of this group of like 40-plus somethings, which whatever, that's a whole nother show. And
isn't
so
that when we met when you were 24?
Yes. Mm. So don't 25. So
oh,
anyway,
sorry.
I ended up getting this nasty gram from this lady going, "I am a paranormal psychic." She spelled psychic. she spelled psychic like physic.
Nice.
So she's a paranormal physic that she was tested from MSU because I'm not aware of any big things coming from Michigan State University that's a paranormal program testing people for their powers.
Why does she have a southern accent?
Because this is what happens when I drink and that people claim they have paranormal powers, it becomes southern. So anyway.
I dig it. Okay. I dig it. Right.
So anyway, she claimed that she was this physic tested by university powers that be. And that she went into their home and felt all these things. And how shitty of us that we did not validate this woman and blah, 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 blah. And I said, you know what, bitch? Hold on. Hold
whoa,
up.
Whoa,
whoa.
No, 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 no. That's not how I said it. Yes. That's not how I said it. I said it very succinctly and perfectly and professionally. And I said, Honey, listen, this is a story.
Hey, listen, we went listen, in, listen, Sugar Plum.
Lambert, okay. Shush.
All right.
So we went into the house, and I told her, I go, this is, yeah, Bonnie.
God, right, dude, this right, is...
right. We're doing a little high five. So I went in, I told her, I go,
where's
look.
The studio audience when you need it? Go, go, go.
Yeah. I told her exactly right. What happened. I go, look, we went into this house. We had the crazy uncle up in the attic smoking weed. We had the kids come home and start smoking weed in the basement. We got the crazy grandma dying in the living room. We got the autistic kid playing video games. We don't know what to make of this crap. And we told the woman what we got, what we had from the investigation, that we didn't think we had enough time or evidence to support her theory that it was paranormally active. And that this is basically, that's what I said.
Right.
And she's like, I'm sorry. Like, she completely, like, melted down, like, stepped back from her position of being angry bitch psychic physic, and was like, I'm sorry. I thought, because I told her, because what happened was the woman kept coming at us going, did you find any more evidence?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. We sent you everything we got. We sent you the video. We have nothing. This is, you know, it's one-time visit. And like we said earlier in the show, I respect the person that goes in 10 times to a haunted location versus the one. I mean, you have to completely be able to go into a place and study it over and over. You're not just going to go in and one night and get all the paranormal evidence you need unless you have some kind of golden evening where everything, just shit's hitting the fan, cupboards are flying open, and demons are running wild.
I don't think it's ever happened. I mean, I've heard people talk about that, but I don't trust
that. So that woman apologized and everything to me, and everything was like, well, I'm sorry. The woman made it appear like you guys never contacted her, like you just showed up at the house and left, and that was it. And I was like, no. That wasn't the case.
Well, I'm going to...
But that totally threw me off of paranormal, personal home investigation as a whole. Like, threw me off.
Now,
boom, done.
We've had some... Well, before you get into ripping all paranormal home investigations, Chris. I mean,
You can see it on his face.
Yeah, but...
I just want to slap
no,
it down.
No, we've had...
Wookies.
We've had some amazing cases. I mean, we can't lie about that. We've had some really amazing cases at homes. But when you're young and you're first starting out, you go put up a camera on every chance you get. You know, the more goes on, the more crazy people you run into.
Yep.
I mean, we could actually do a show about the crazy...
More to fear from the living than the dead is
what I
always
say. Well,
not even
that, just the crazy stories and the crazy experiences you've had at these homes.
Yep.
I mean, we could...
That's a story.
That's a show.
Not the haunting.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, when you were talking about how the crazy physic lady, you know, was like assaulting you, right?
I need to find
there's one
CPL
thing
from U of M.
CPL, crazy physic lady.
There is one thing that I have learned
Michigan
that
State.
When homeowners contact paranormal groups, they turn into habitual liars.
Yep.
You know, I hate to say it. I mean, number one, they're crazy. They have all these great things. But you ever notice when you get to the location after they write all this stuff down and have all these great emails, they kind of back off.
Yeah.
And then you see who's leading who and who's doing this and all this going on. So it's like, okay, why the hell did I even waste my time?
Well,
yep.
And it, first and foremost, if anybody does call looking for help, I mean, we explain to them what we can do. Look, I can't get rid of whatever's there.
Yeah, you can't
guarantee
anything.
Is
that proven?
Right. All we can do is come in and try to document.
Yep.
That's it. That's all we can do. You know, we can give you some guidance if it's on theology that you're looking into, you know, but as far as that goes, you know, that's...
Or if you don't find a raccoon in the attic, you can say, hey, you're not batshit crazy. And I think a lot of people, because of course you guys know this more than anybody else, that when you run a paranormal website, every email starts with, I'm not crazy, but...
Uh-huh.
This is what's happening. And 9 out of 10 times, those people are legit people. They're not the fucking batshit crazy people that I'm talking about from previous investigations. They're legitimate people that are saying, hey, this is going on. We got a claim. We're going to you in utmost confidence. We feel silly saying this. So they put that preface in there. And, I mean, I had a woman when I do public speaking. So occasionally I get people after I do a talk that come up to me and in confidence say, okay, I had this woman, I actually said this in the first show, so I didn't want to go into too much detail, but I had a woman explain a very serious situation where she started crying in front of me talking.
Yes.
And I think anybody that's a fellow human being knows when someone starts crying in front of you or explains some form of human emotion where you're like, that's legit.
Well,
that's not bullshit.
To someone they don't know
they
either.
Felt that. Yeah, I don't
to
know this
don't
woman.
Know.
And she's explaining the experience her and her family went through, she's crying and going, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I feel so stupid. I mean, and there was nothing batshit crazy about this woman whatsoever. Her vibes did not relate that. And so when you can talk to her and tell her, I can listen to you and I can hear you and I can hear your story and you can tell me this and I know you're not batshit crazy because this stuff happens. That's why I'm interested in this field. That's why I keep pursuing it. Then I think you give those people a little bit of comfort, and that's what mm-hmm. keeps some of those people like us in traditional groups going.
You know, I have to retract a little bit on my statement, though. You know, as you're talking and I'm listening, and I'm going back through my memory about a lot of the home cases we've done, and honestly, I think we've had one compelling. But then we've had the recovering crack addict crying on my shoulder for an Woo! Hour. We've had the haunted feet. We've had the crazy. These are stories for later.
Yeah.
We've had the lady incessant caller at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning for yep. months, stalking us basically. I'm trying to think. I mean, there's so many. That's the thing. A lot of them are just far out crazy.
The Wiccan people.
Sadly, it's a lot of people reaching out for help because it's mental issues.
Well,
and so many paranormal people end up becoming like psychologists, not by trade.
And I don't think there's too many of them that are qualified for that. That's
no,
what the problem
it's
is.
You were not qualified psychologists.
Well, go ahead, Chris.
Well, no. Here's the thing, and everything that you guys are saying is the lead to this topic was exactly the state of the paranormal community. And you guys are hitting the nail right on the head. And we got it. Let's take that apart for a minute.
All right.
Okay. We're talking about all the media overexposure here. Just in the studio, we're looking at two really great things here: Twitter and Facebook. Okay. Every time you turn on Twitter and Facebook, if you're remotely interested in anything paranormal, you like one paranormal site, and you're inundated with
boom,
millions of it.
Overload.
So you hear a squeak in the middle of the night after you just watched this video of this house and that somewhere in there, and there's a squeak, and oh my God, you got a demon living in there.
Yeah. Well, that's just putting a hook in your brain. That's all it's doing is it's programming you.
Some people believe it.
It's programming you, but with it,
somebody is in big trouble.
Jesus. Is that Chris's phone? That's Wendy.
That's Wendy.
That's his wife. We just
could have answered.
You could have put it on speaker.
Remind me to call her on speakerphone. Okay, remind me to tell you the story about the bad phone.
Okay, but I
want to hear about the haunted feet.
All right, so
too.
I'll tell
you.
But
I mean, you got to look at it from this perspective. Is with all of the media that's out there right now, we're so just covered in this. Everything that we're doing as paranormal investigators, we are going to get a little bit more skeptical as we move along. We are going to get a little bit more.
News in general. I mean, this election, I don't want to go too far into the election, but I mean, this election, I mean, we may have talked about it on here. You can go on Facebook any day and get, I mean, literally just scroll down your feed or whatever, right? And you'll see like 10 different articles, whether they're like totally shutting down Trump or shutting down Clinton, one of the two, right?
A lot of them are fake news articles.
And they're fake news articles. They're bullshit. And you know, the funny thing, not to go too far into this, but I just read an article recently where Facebook is actually starting to lock down on this and go, you know what, we're tired of this crap. We need to start getting rid of all these fake news articles. But given it as it is right now, just for that, very real, I mean, a very tangible topic. I mean, the presidential election. There's still, it's lined with tons and tons of bullshit, right?
Right.
So with the paranormal, I mean, I don't want to equate that with bullshit, but it's the same idea. I mean, you can be inundated with all this information, and none of it can, I mean, how do you know? You can't verify anything, right?
If you want to get down to the bare bones of it all, I mean, we had this conversation at the last event, you know, during one of the group investigations. You know, there is nothing. We have, I don't care how fancy your equipment is, how many investigations you've done, there is nothing out there that's going to prove that a ghost actually exists.
No. It goes back to the how.
Right.
And we talked about earlier.
And
right?
So it goes, if you do want to study, if you are interested in the paranormal, or you have a team or something along those lines, if you do happen to find maybe a pretty cool homeowner who's really interested in getting down to the facts of what's going on, then spend time. I mean, honestly, that's the only way you're going to really decide if there's activity happening at a location is spending the time. One night going in and you hear a loud noise or even a door shutting or something along those lines doesn't mean that the place is haunted.
Right.
I think a lot of people want to go for more quantity than quality.
That's where they're missing out. You know, I'll fully admit in the very beginning when we first started this, I mean, we took any case we could get our hands on. And they came, in a lot. And those, through that is how we learned a lot of the stuff that, how we operate now. I mean, everything that we've done, we've always taken it as a learning experience. You can ask these guys after every case, after every event, anything we do, even still to this day.
Yeah.
We get together and say, okay, what was good? What was bad? What can we change? How can we make things better? And how can we do things differently? I mean, we always have done that.
All the time.
So it's, but there's only...
It's Chris texting.
Chris, you're hitting the table.
Oh, sorry.
So what the hell is going on again?
I didn't even notice that.
I knew what you were looking for, and I knew what it was.
Jumping all over the board going, what the hell? No, I mean, and that's, yeah, I think that really was it. You know, dive in. Work with, I mean, and that's one of the things I know Doug and I said over the years with a lot of people we had on the show was, you know, we really kind of envy a lot of people that are on the show because they basically dedicated themselves to one topic, one idea, one area of research, whatever the heck it might be, right?
Right.
And they're learning and learning where, you know, doing a radio show like we were doing or we're doing now, we're exposing ourselves to something new every week. And it's very difficult to try to focus on anything for any amount of time because you have to move on to the next thing. I'm going to break your phone.
Oh, Christopher's fine.
But, says the guy that smacked the microphone 45 times.
Tonight. I've actually fixed the mic now. I've actually moved the thing up now, so I'm not going to do that anymore.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm making adjustments as we go here. So, I mean, that's that idea. So bottom line here, because I want to land this thing pretty soon, I think. The state of the paranormal itself. One of the things that we've kind of talked around this, right, this idea. As far as where it is now, and I think I may know the answer to this question, you know, what is the state? Is it still a volatile? Because, I mean, when we left, I know when we stepped back, to me it was volatile. I mean, every week we felt like it was like, oh my God, this is just getting ugly every single week. Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel it is now?
Stagnant.
Honestly, with myself, and this is the first
chair suck.
Isn't the first time I've said this once again. I think there has been no advancements in the paranormal field from when you guys left. Honestly,
from a scientific viewpoint, from any type of data information.
Here's the thing. Everybody that says we use the scientific method. First off, most people don't even understand what the hell that means.
Well, I've said that for years.
Right.
So, I mean...
It's just a good buzzword.
The last person that said we use the scientific method, I actually printed out the scientific method, and I said, look, do you adhere to this? No, then you don't. Don't use that again.
But what I mean is any type of actual forward motion with any type of hard data behind
it. I don't think that we are any closer now than we were not even from 10 years ago, 50 years ago.
100 years ago. Come on.
Right. Even with just, we have a couple new gadgets that have lights and things. That's the only thing that we've ever advanced on.
We have shiny bells.
The Boo Bear.
And honest with you, a lot of these things were just, someone was walking around Walmart and said, hey, I'm a paranormal investigator. I want to use this and see what happens. And then that happened to get a couple little blips. Mm-hmm. And then they say, hey, I'm going to put this on a website. Now they're millionaires.
Exactly.
Well, nobody's a millionaire.
I mean,
off of equipment.
Now, there has been some equipment advances that are kind of like, wow, that's neat, but it still doesn't do it. I want to see more teams use older methods of doing it. Put all away your gadgets. Put a pencil down and do some spirit writing.
I just walk somewhere.
You know? And do something. Put some talcum powder.
But see here again, that all goes back into why you're doing it. If you're in it to experience and get your own answers, yes, I agree using some of the older methods and things of that nature. But if you're in it to try to prove something, you've got to develop new equipment. You've got to try new methods. You've got to try to make the gadget or whatever that happens. But I think that's going to be extremely difficult if you don't have a steady place that you can experiment in.
Exactly.
Well, that's a lab.
Right.
You have to be able to reproduce something over and over again
or
to understand
a supposed haunted location
that you can go in and
which experiment. You could use. That could be a lab also. But I mean, I've never and I we look. You're preaching to the choir here. I have received emails and phone calls and smoke signals, whatever they may be, from people, and they've been, oh my God, and it's still happening. It's been happening since we backed off in 2009. It's still happened over the years because everybody's like, well, that Scott's the ghost guy. What the hell that means, I don't know. But anytime any of my friends or people I know or a distant cousin, relative, they know that I did this, whatever, they ought to, it's like knowing IT, like that's my trade. Mm-hmm. Boy, if you computer problem. Well, Scott, I haven't talked to Scott, my fifth cousin, in like 22 years, but he might know how to fix the computer, right?
Yep.
So they call me, and that's fine. But what I hear is, well, this house is the most insane thing. I mean, there's just stuff flying off the walls. There's all these things happening. And from my experience, and this is, I guess this could be the cynical, jaded side of me, from my experience of going, do like you guys have done, doing the road work, getting on the road, going out in the field and doing these things.
Yep.
I've gotten there and a lot of the stories change, and frankly, I spend 12 hours at a place and nothing happens. That is not to say that things don't happen there, right?
Right.
But they're not to the nth degree that the person is
Example of that is the Sally House. When we went to the Sally House and everyone was like, oh my God, it's so haunted.
Well, we had
one can stay the night there, you know.
Oh, well,
we slept there for 3 nights and it was the best sleep I ever got.
Bonnie and I, we slept on that goofy, horrible blow
air mattress,
up. Which blew up, like, it was really good when you laid down, like when you're going to bed, but.
But then it deflated overnight.
It literally,
Scott and I rolled
into each other.
And we don't like to touch one another.
No. And, but we both discussed that after the trip. Now there were a couple of profound things that we discussed back in the years ago. There were some really interesting things that did happen. So the Sally House was really cool to go to and experience that. But as far as what we were described, like people being scratched, being punched, being hit, I mean physical manifestations, all this, like, and you know, straight out of the Poltergeist
inability to stay there overnight.
Oh
no
my God, I'm being thrown out. I ran out and left my clothes there, and I ran out dong dangling in the air, or just I was naked in bed. I mean,
I am not ghost hunting with you ever again.
Yeah.
So no, I mean, but we slept. We did, and we were honest back then. We'll be honest now. We both laughed about that on the trip home, on the plane ride home.
I slept like a baby.
We slept great. We were relaxed. We felt good. Now I don't know what that means.
Well,
right?
we went to Whispers Estate. So Whispers Estate. I remember so there's been past Ghostly Talk episodes. You can download them. You can listen to them. You can hear the opinions. Whatever.
I don't want to talk about Whispers.
No, we're not going to talk about it.
I don't want to talk.
But for example, like that was one of the nights where, like, at the end of the night, we were like, we're flipping tired. We want to go to bed. And I remember Scott and I going to bed. We were staying in one room. I think Bonnie, you and Sean were upstairs.
With Sean, yeah.
Upstairs. Gowan was locked in his Fortress of Solitude, like in the corner. He was terrified. He didn't want anything to happen when he went to sleep.
Puppet dummy.
Yeah, he had a puppet with him. He had a ventriloquist dummy.
Ventriloquist.
So anyway, but I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Scott, but it was like 4 a.m. and the door, we're falling asleep, we're laying in the bed, and the door just went and opened up on its own. And I was like, did you see that? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, I don't even fucking care. I want to go
back. And we were totally burned out.
And
we
he's like, yeah, I don't care either. And I think we said out loud, like, dude, just leave us alone. We want to go to bed. And like, nothing happened after that. We went to bed. We slept fine. So everyone's saying, like, right now in the Sally House.
Yeah, well,
that's what prompted this thought, was like, you slept fine in that house. Okay, so all night long, we had these supposed haunted experiences that happened where we heard these ghost voices and trains and jacks and things appearing in the attic and all these crazy things, whatever. Past Ghostly Talks, download them all. But we had that night, whatever. I don't, if I make any sound, it doesn't matter. We don't have to acknowledge every sound I make hitting things, okay? We got that? Okay. Okay, you're looking at me.
Right, finish anyway, your thoughts.
I like when the monitor was in front of my face.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't
when
see it, you
when
anymore.
You didn't see me, anyway.
Yeah.
So, but we slept fine that night. We slept fine.
We slept like babies.
Horribly
like
haunted house.
Yeah.
Horribly haunted house.
But there's a. I don't want to talk.
Door open. Don't care.
I don't want to talk anymore about Whispers though, because there's a lot to that.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama.
I,
There's a lot of drama.
And we could do a show on that.
Yeah, I don't even know what's going on with that current house right now. So I wouldn't want to do a show until I understood completely who owns it, what's going on, if they're still doing tours, blah blah blah.
So the state of the paranormal, basically, of course, I mean, what, you know, from you guys, is stagnant.
Stagnant. I think,
but the relations are better though.
Yes, I would say the relationships.
I think the ghost teams in Michigan get along better.
We do,
because back when we quit doing what we were doing, there seemed to be a lot of like drama going on. Like, oh, this team doesn't get along with this team, and this team's like whatever.
It was freaking turf
and
wars,
then,
man.
No, turf war. But turf then wars. A lot of those teams kind of dissolved and disappeared, right?
Yeah,
they disappeared, or they started doing just kind of their own thing, where they weren't necessarily picking up public or private investigations. They were just maybe writing books or doing presentations or doing whatever. They turned into an entertainment factor, and so there was like we were saying at the beginning of the show, there's a lot more conferences going on in the great state of Michigan. There's three legit conferences going on in this state right now. There are some little probably side conferences going on that I feel bad if you're listening and you have a conference, whatever. I'm sorry.
Well, get a hold of us.
But
we'll talk about it on
here.
Little
Traverse Bay in Petoskey, which I went and spoke at this past October, and it was a phenomenal time. John Cassidy and his wife, Jacqueline, run that. And they treated me like I was royalty. We got put up for free in a great little frat house with people, and we had a great time. And then there was, of course, the Dundee Festival.
Parafest.
It was awesome.
Which is in Southwest Michigan. That was Doug. Wow. He sounds like he's just here with me. And then, of course, there's the Biggie and the Sioux, which is the Sioux, I will say, has a lot of the TV personalities. You're going to have your people from Ghost Hunters, John Zaffis, who we love. Well, I'm sorry, we love John Zaffis. And all these big, big names. And I did hear from the paranormal gossip community that the casino doesn't have anything to do with that conference anymore. So now the current government in Sault Ste. Marie has picked it up. And they are currently trying to book all the speakers and everything and still have it at the casino up there.
Yeah, I think it's taken care of by the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, the Chamber of Commerce, exactly. And I know I've been there in the past, and it's a great time. At the beginning of the show, we said the paranormal community is a, quote, community.
Yeah.
And so when we get together, especially in Michigan, if we all come up and meet at the Sioux, first off, you're going to have to drag me out of the casino, because as soon as I find video poker... and if my machine's hot, you're going to have to pull me away.
Amber's like Lemmy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to be smoking cigarettes, drinking a drink, just plunking away, putting my 20s in. And you're going to have to... I remember the first time I went and set up shop at the Sault Ste. Marie conference.
You put our troll draws on
you
top
guys,
of the
You guys were all partying.
Good luck.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was like... It was like 11 o'clock or something, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go in the casino. I'm just going to spend a few bucks or whatever. And you're like, okay, well, we're going to be at the bar party and ordering pizza, doing this, whatever. And seriously, 3 or 4 hours later, I emerged from the casino because my machine was hot. And the girl that I was there with, she was like, my machine's done. It's not paying out. I lost. And I'm like, here's a fucking 20. Put it in your goddamn machine. My machine's hot. And because mine was paying out. So I was like, take a 20. I don't care. It's from my machine. And then, like, seriously, it was like 3 a.m. And I came out of the machine. I didn't win anything, but I didn't lose anything.
Right.
But I emerged from the casino, and you guys, all the MPI guys, everybody was still partying like I don't know what. Like it was 1999.
MPI parties rock stars.
In the casino.
Not as much as we used to, but.
But at that point, this was like 4 years ago. You guys were still like, what? It's like 2 a.m. It was like not even like it was 4 a.m. It was like 1 a.m. to you guys. And then I remember Russ, who's upstairs hiding right now at this current broadcast.
Yeah, we have like a pile of people upstairs.
He doesn't want to be part of this, whatever. He's not cool. So
that was me.
So Russ, I walked up to him and I said something to him that was like, give me a hug, Russ. Oh my God, whatever. And he looked at me and he goes, because he was drunk.
Amber, Valley Girl.
And he goes, what did you just say? He goes, boner hug? And I go, I lost my shit. I couldn't stop laughing. Everybody lost their shit because he had just said, you remember that, Joe? He was like, boner hug. And so from this point on, poor Russ, I want to look at him and go, boner hug? Hey, boner hug, give me a hug. It's just so funny. So, I mean, again, even if you're not catching ghosts at a house in an attic or a basement or whatever, the paranormal community has a family. We have a little clique, and it's fun to get together at these events or conferences or currently at this ghostly talk at the Haunted Apple Orchard Studios or whatever like Scott's named it.
Yep.
It is like a little reunion.
What the fuck was that?
Shush. And it's fun to get together and reminisce and talk and then also talk about the progress of where we're going.
It's a beautiful apple orchard we live at.
We have one apple tree, Scott. We have one goddamn apple tree.
You're fucking the whole thing up.
We have
one
apple tree.
Shut up, Amber.
Okay.
It's the facade.
One fucking apple tree.
Shut up.
Okay, I'm done.
So this past Paracon, it was interesting. The big
in
party.
In Dundee.
No, this was the one up in the
Sioux. Oh, you went up in the Sioux. Okay.
The one I was not at.
Yes.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry, Joe.
It was the big party night, and I am actually still proud to say.
Saturday night.
Was it whatever the big party night was.
Saturday.
So at 3 a.m., I believe it or so, Chris and I were the last two survivors.
Hell yeah.
We're sitting at the table eating our beef stew.
Fuck yeah.
I believe it.
And the place is empty.
Eat
except
that
for Chris
beef
and I
stew.
Sitting there eating our beef stew.
I didn't even see security.
Why did you have beef stew and where did that come from? Because
they have that little deli that's open almost 24 hours there, and we're this time probably
they just serve
recovering
beef stew 24/7.
Yeah, and it's delicious.
Okay.
We could have got a pizza, but by that time I think we needed something a little hearty on the stomachs.
So
yeah,
babe,
probably
go to the beef.
I was hammered.
Yeah.
No doubt
so it was
about
like,
that.
Dude,
that does not shock me.
I'm sure the conversation went, dude. Do you want to get some beef stew?
Yes, I
do. Oh, my God, that sounds great.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's amazing. Let's go.
I've been thinking about beef stew.
Well, there's one thing
I think
getting back into this stuff is definitely for certain is that a lot of our old friends from this thing still know how to do what we do, and that's, you know, go out. With the conference thing, it's always been a fun time, and you know, maybe Ghostly Talk might get back involved with this stuff down the road.
You
know,
you have to come to Petoskey because I got invited back to Petoskey again next year.
Not only that, come out to. There's a lot of teams out there doing events. They're doing the overnight ghost hunts and things like that at a lot of different locations. So definitely, you guys are going to have to come out to the ship, check it out.
That's something we want to do for sure.
Come out to a public one and see how it is. See how the people interact nowadays.
It'd be really interesting to see how it is now.
Yeah,
I think that's a really cool thing. So, I mean, I think we got done what we wanted to do tonight.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it's really cool.
Nailed
guys,
it.
Thank
Nailed
you so
it.
Much, honestly.
No, thank you,
Chris,
guys.
Wade,
Love
Joe.
Love you guys.
Thanks for joining us
thank
tonight.
Thank you, MPI.
No, yeah, thanks for hanging out here.
They will be continuous guests.
And this is literally a holiday we're on right now, so these guys took the time out to come over here and chat with us kind of on a holiday. So thanks again for doing that, guys. I know it's... tough
anytime,
to swing that.
Man.
Yeah, it's always.
So we don't know when we're coming back next.
Anytime when schedules are open.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys, just throw it out there. You guys are always welcome on the Haunted Ship of Doom.
Woo!
Thank you. Thank you. The
yes.
Haunted Ship
Check
of Doom.
Check out that
and
show,
it's an actual
too.
Ship. Just like
Check
this is
out
an
that,
actual
it's
haunted.
An actual ship.
Yeah, this is
yeah,
actual.
Yeah, the actual one tree haunted orchard.
Scott, shut it down.
I think we gotta. Yeah, Amber. It's like she's like wobbling
down.
Right
Gone.
Now.
I'm not wobbling. There's only one fucking tree.
You're wobbling.
One tree.
Dude, I swear to God.
Scott, shut it down.
No.
Let
it
go.
I actually have one for this. I think.
Oh, he's got a drop.
I can't wait to hear it.
Let's hear
no,
it.
Actually, no. I think I don't think I do.
Oh, he's disappointing us. He's letting us down.
Go
the
figure.
Lips, monkey balls. He's daddy's treat.
Okay, how's that?
What the hell was that?
It was horrible. That's what it was.
Wow.
I forgot. Let's forget I even
okay,
played that.
Okay, this was Ghostly Talk. I'm Bonnie.
I'm Amber.
Oh, goddamn.
He's Scott L. And we got Joe and Wayne and Chris from MPI.
Thanks, guys. Everybody have a great time.
Thank
we'll
you
see you next
Happy
time.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yay!